answer you to, he'll see you through. God is just a prayer away. Meet him each hour, night or day. His ear is never closed to your cares and woes. God is just a prayer away. Meet him each hour, night or day. His love so divine joins his heart and mine. For God is just a prayer away.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering in the prison both men and women. It is written, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and drew nigh unto Damascus, about noon suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. It is written, and I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. It is written, and the Lord said unto me, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do.
For God is just a
And he said, the God of our fathers hath appointed thee to know his will, and to see the righteous one, and to hear a voice from his mouth. For thou shalt be a witness for him unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. As a call comes ringing o'er the restless wave, send the light. There are souls to rescue. There are souls to save. Send the light. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light. Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. So send the light, and a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light. Send the light. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message, The Journey of Paul. Saul of Tarsus was on a journey to Damascus to find any that were of the way, whether men or women, that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Going to Damascus sounds ominous. Damascus had a reputation for being one of Israel's most cruel enemies. Almost 800 years before this, in the book of Amos, God threatened Damascus when he said, for three transgressions of Damascus, and for four, I will not turn away punishment thereof, because they have threshed Gilead with threshing instruments of iron. It would seem that Damascus was a dangerous location for a church, and they were about to understand what Jesus told the apostles in the upper room before he went to Gethsemane. "And it shall be that whosoever killeth you will think that he do a service unto God." However, there are a great many dangerous locations for a church. We receive letters all the time from places where people tell us they are being persecuted and instruct us to send them Bibles in plain wrapping paper. It is a dangerous thing to be caught with a copy of the Word of God in some places. And that shows the great power of the Bible. Unbelievers consider it the greatest weapon that can be used against them. However, the most dangerous place for the church today may be right here in America. I heard one missionary say he would not want to live in America again because he would be in danger of losing his soul. Actually, we are all in danger and don't know it. America is a dangerous place to live because there is no right or wrong. There is no such thing as sin anymore. All kinds of crime are reported every day in the news, and nothing is ever referred to as sin. Sin has been bleeped out of the vocabulary. The devil has convinced us, as he convinced Eve, "You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Today, we are God. We make our own rules of morality. The Word of God has been trashed. So Saul was on his way to Damascus, breathing, threatening, and slaughter. Every breath he took was full of hate for the church. It was God that breathed into Adam the breath of life in the first place. And it is God who gives us breath also. Paul said on Mars Hill that God gives to all life, breath, and all things. Now that reminds us of Job 17, verse 1, where it is written, "The breath of my mouth is corrupt." It seems that Job had a bad case of halitosis. Some today have spiritual halitosis. Just listen to all the blasphemy and other filth you hear every day. It is well to consider the warning of Psalms 104. "Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust." The God who gives breath to all things can also take our breath away anytime. So notice the contrast of a better choice in the words of Psalm 150. "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." So Saul was on dangerous ground, breathing, threatening, and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Now as Saul drew near to Damascus, there was a change in plans as far as the purpose of this trip was concerned. Suddenly, there shone round about him a light out of heaven that was brighter than the midday sun. And he fell upon the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Saul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" The voice said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." It says a light was brighter than the midday sun. The brightest light we have on earth makes no light at all under the glare of the midday sun. But this light Saul saw was brighter than the sun at its full strength. This life appeared suddenly. This reminds us of the day when the Lord returns. His coming will be in the twinkling of an eye, and with no warning, suddenly. And that's not all. Jesus said in Matthew 13, "At that time the righteous shall shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father." But until that day, as Paul says in Colossians, we can give thanks unto the Father, who hath made us to be meet partakers in the inheritance of light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Now this appearance of Jesus must have been an amazing discovery for Saul. Persecution of the church was persecution of Jesus. When Saul led in the stoning of Stephen, he was stoning Jesus. When, as he said, he was exceeding mad against the church, he was exceeding mad at Jesus. Anything we do to hurt the church, we do to Jesus. Paul himself would tell us later that Jesus is the head of the church, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now Luke tells us, the men who were with Saul heard the voice that spake unto him. When Saul retold his conversion story, he said the men with him heard no voice. This may seem like a contradiction, but we see the same thing happen most any day. Someone says something. Another will ask, what did you say? They heard your voice, but they weren't sure they heard what you said. And spiritually, that is true most of the time I preach. Thousands of people may be listening to this broadcast. They hear a voice, and yet most of them have never really understood a word of it. That is why Jesus said several times during his ministry, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Then Saul said, what shall I do, Lord? The Lord told him to arise and go into Damascus, and there it would be told him what he was to do. And they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Now consider the salvation of what would be the Apostle Paul. The Lord had told Saul to go to Damascus, and there it would be told him what he must do. There was something that he must do. What was it? When Saul arrived in Damascus, he was 3 days without sight and did neither eat nor drink. His only activity was prayer. God heard his prayer and sent a disciple named Ananias to lay his hands on him to receive his sight. The scales fell off his eyes. His sight was restored. And then he told him, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a good example of the sinner's prayer. Saul prayed, and God answered his prayer, not by saving him at that time, but by sending someone to tell him what to do to be saved. This is the point where Saul was saved, when the scales of preconceived ideas are removed from our eyes, we will do what Saul of Tarsus did. If he was saved when he saw Jesus and believed on him, he was saved before his sins were forgiven. But he was not forgiven until he obeyed the terms of forgiveness. If Ananias had said, believe and be saved, Saul would have said, what do you mean, believe? I saw him. I know him personally. I've talked to him. I've had a conversation with him. If Ananias had told him to repent, Saul would have said, what do you mean, repent? I've been doing this for 3 days. I haven't eaten anything. I've been in the dark. If I have repented already. I have repented for 3 days without food and water. You see, it all depends on where you are when you ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Those of you who have already believed and have repented need to do what Saul of Tarsus was told. Go ahead and complete the salvation process. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. The conversion of Saul of Tarsus should be a great inspiration to many. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy in the first chapter, "Faithful is the saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, in me as chief, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me as chief might Jesus Christ show forth all his long-suffering, for an example to them that should thereafter believe on him unto eternal life. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." That is the teaching of God's word. If God would save Saul as the greatest sinner, there is salvation for anybody. Now that Saul of Tarsus has been saved, we know it also that he was sanctified. The process of sanctification is mentioned in Ephesians when Paul says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself up for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." And then again in Corinthians, "But ye are saved, ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." The process of sanctification begins when we are immersed into Christ and continues as we learn more about the Lord and the lifestyle he wants us to live. Jesus prayed for the sanctification of his followers when he prayed, "Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth." So after you become a Christian, your sanctification can continue as you read God's word. The more Bible you read, the more sanctified or holy you should become. Remember, Saul was told to go into Damascus, and there it be told him what he must do. After he was told to obey the Lord regarding salvation, he was then told that he would be sent with the gospel message to many people in many places. So Saul was saved, sanctified, and then he is to be sent. Saul of Tarsus wasted no time. Straightway, he proclaimed at Damascus that Jesus was the Son of God. What a shock that must have been. The people who had waited his coming to help rid Damascus of these Christians now heard him preach the faith he came to destroy. So they decided to kill him. The disciples helped him escape, however, by lowering him over the wall in a basket. Every church needs a rope and basket squad. Their names are not given in Scripture, but God will remember them and who they were on that day. Their names may not have been listed in the next Sunday's bulletin, but they are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. In that basket that night, they held the fortunes of hundreds of churches, plus about 100 chapters of the New Testament. They had no idea of the far-reaching effects of their ministry that night. When Paul escaped, he went to Jerusalem and tried to join the local church. They were afraid of him until Barnabas explained what had happened. Many folk today leave their community, go someplace else, and never look up the local congregation. Paul wanted to stay at Jerusalem himself, perhaps to be the senior minister of the First Christian Church. But God had other plans for him. The Lord told him, "Depart, for I will send thee far hence, unto the Gentiles. Later on, when he was at Antioch, the Holy Spirit said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have sent them. The church needs to send out preachers today to preach the terms of pardon that were preached the day the church began. Jesus said in Matthew 9, Behold, the fields are white unto harvest, and the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he send forth laborers into his harvest. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason I am preaching today is because the Church of Christ, where I was a member over 60 years ago, sent me out to preach. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm still preaching the same message they sent me out to preach all those years ago, and I have no intentions of changing it. The Lord has not changed. The Bible has not changed. The devil has not changed. Sin has not changed. Hell has not changed. Heaven has not changed. Saul of Tarsus was saved, sanctified, and sent. Now we notice that he was also sustained in that ministry. In the third chapter of 2 Timothy, we note an example of how he was sustained. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, and afflictions which came to me at Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. The Lord sustained him. Perhaps some would think that the Lord had a strange way of delivering him. Think of it all. Think of all the afflictions he suffered. He said he had been stoned, shipwrecked 3 times, beaten with rods 3 times, beaten with 39 stripes 5 times. This would have been enough for most of us preachers today to suffer what they call burnout. But Paul was sustained. He kept on going. Paul was saved, sanctified, sent, sustained, and now last of all we notice that he was sacrificed. Paul was sacrificed. He said, The time of my departure is at hand, and I am already being offered. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. You would think that after all that work and suffering, the Lord would retire Paul to some warm climate to live out the rest of his days in peace and relaxation. But that is not exactly the way it happened. The Lord rewarded him with a martyr's death. What sacrifices are we willing to make? He said, I have fought the good fight. When the Lord saves, sanctifies, sends, sustains, and sacrifices us, it is because he has not sent us into a frolic. He has sent us into a fight. He has not sent us to a parade. He sends us out on a pilgrimage. He has not sent us out to a circus. He sent us out to a crusade. Hear me. If you believe the Bible is the inspired word of God, never, never, never be satisfied with anything less than the old Jerusalem gospel. Keep the faith. If you believe the gospel plan of salvation, revealed the day the church began, never be satisfied with anything less. Keep the faith. If you believe in observing the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day, never be satisfied with anything else. Keep the faith. Paul was saved, sanctified, sent, sustained, sacrificed. What better program for life could there be? May it be the life program for us all on our spiritual journey. The late sportscaster Grantland Rice said it for us. The way is rough and long and hard, with soft spots far apart. And the only way to make the grade are those who have the uphill heart. And when they stop you with a thud, or jolt you with a crack, let courage call the signals as you keep coming back. Keep coming back, and though the world may romp across your spine, let each game's end find you upon the battling line. For when the one great scorer comes to mark against your name, he'll mark not how you won or lost, but how you played the game. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at this same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.